Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Lo Abesimcha. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Lo Abesimcha. Oh, oh, Abesimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Oh, Abesimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Menucha.
Oh Lord, thank you for this beautiful day.
Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Oh, Abesimcha. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Oh, Abesimcha. Oh, oh, Abesimcha. Shabbat Menucha.
By Canon Francis for having me today. It's great to be with the saints in Nashville. We invite you, Yeshua. You're welcome in this place. As we rejoice in your presence.
Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yeah, Yom Zeil Yisrael, oh Abesimcha. Yom Zeil Yisrael, oh Abesimcha. Oh, oh Abesimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeil Yisrael, oh Abesimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Menucha.
Shabbat Shalom. Okay, so who came to praise him today? We're not going to hold back. Come to honor your name, Yeshua.
So praise him with the cymbals. Praise him with the dance. Praise him with a shofar. Come on, praise him with your hands. Praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the drum and the flute, and praise him with your heart. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
et Adonai, hallelujah,
et Adonai,
hallelujah, et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai,
hallelujah,
et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Come on and praise him with the cymbal. Praise him with the dance. You better praise him with the shofar. Praise him with your hands. We're gonna praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the drum and the flute. Praise him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Oh, come and praise the Lord.
Lord.
And let everything that has breath come and praise the Lord.
Oh Yeshua, we gather in your name again this morning to give you honor and power and praise, for you alone are worthy. We invite you into this congregation this morning.
So praise him with the cymbals. Praise him with the dance. Praise him with the shofar. Praise him with your hands. You better praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the drum and the flute. And praise him with your heart. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai. Oh, come and praise the Lord.
if you're thirsty. There's a lot of water here to drink today.
Oh, you can come and praise the Lord. Oh, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Adonai, hallelujah. And Adonai, hallelujah. And Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Come and praise the Lord. Come.
Hallelujah. I want to play a bunch of new songs for you. This is by my rabbi, Marty Waldman. I hope that you like it. It's from Psalm 130. It's easy to sing. We're going to just make the declaration.
Always shall put your hope in the Lord. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. His mercy is forever. He himself will redeem you from all your sin. The Lord himself will redeem Israel from all their sin.
Yes, let's declare some more.
Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for in him is unfailing love. Oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, in him is full redemption, and he himself will redeem you from all your sin. The Lord himself will redeem Israel from all their sin.
Father, that you have redeemed us. This is our prayer for your people, Israel.
Oh, he himself will redeem you from all your sin. The Lord himself will redeem Israel from all their sin. Yes, he himself will redeem. From all their sin. Put your hope in the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, you know this song. Let's declare it so they can hear us in Jerusalem tonight.
Yeshua Mishikenu Biku. Adonai Makaseinu Luko Aleinu Yeshua Mishikenu. Canada, big Canada.
Yeshua ki hu Yoshia. Hu Yoshia, hu Yoshia. Et amo me amotehem. Yeah, la 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 seinu, hu no ameinu. Yeshua me shikenu. Yeshua Meshikenu, Yichubo. Bekarata, bekarata. Yeshua ki hu Yoshia. Hu Yoshia, hu Yoshia. Et amo me amotehem. Oh, Adonai Hakaseinu, Hugo Aleinu. Yeshua Meshikenu. Declared in the dance clubs of Tel Aviv. Now the victory song. I got a few questions from you, from the Proverbs for you. They're really easy.
Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists?
You know?
Who has bound up the waters as a garment? Establish the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is his son's name? Tell me if you can tell. Be Harashamahim Vayera. Be Hasavu Avechovna. Take that. has bound up the waters as a garment, who has established the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is his son's name? Tell me if you can tell. Mashemo, Mashembeno, Kiteta, Kiteta. Trust in him. Every word of God is good. It is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Come on now. Every word of God is good. It is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do you put your trust in him? Every word of God is good. It is a shield to those who put their trust in him.
All the people are running at the sound of his voice. It comes from Jerusalem, roaring like a lion. All the angels are with him. The people make a joyful noise. It's the Son of David taking up his throne in Zion. Tremble the earth at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, O nations, before the God of Israel. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, O nations, before the Holy One of Jacob. How the earth did shake, and the heavens poured out rain, when the Holy One rises to take his place. And the mountain quaked as the voice of God proclaimed, prepare, behold, I come, this will be the day. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, O nations, before the God of Israel. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, O nations, before the Holy One of Jacob. Father, we are anxiously awaiting that day when your feet will split the Mount of Olives. And every knee is gonna bow.
Tremble, O nations, before the
before the Holy One.
Oh, before the Holy One. Before the Holy One of Jacob.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Yes, he will. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Oh, the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Shall lead them to living fountains of water. He shall lead them to living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And God shall wipe away all tears.
He will comfort all who mourn in Zion. And even here today, yourself this morning.
Lord, I knew Adonai. Lord, I knew Adonai. Lord, I knew Kilesh Yimka. Ten Kavod. To us, O Lord, not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name. We give all honor and power and glory unto your name. Give glory.
praise you this morning, Yeshua, for the mighty things you've done. And you've gotten us through another week. Hallelujah. Your voice.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name we give glory, unto your name we give glory.
Power and glory belong to you, Father. We gather today to give you glory and to give you thanks, Lord, for what you have done. Lord, you paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could even stand before you. And we remind you, Lord, today that we are grateful. And we worship you, O Lord, for you alone are worthy to receive all honor and praise. You are highly exalted, Lord God Almighty, sing out, O heaven and earth. Hallelujah, we bless the name Yeshua, for he is the name. Hallelujah, we bless the name Yeshua. Messiah gave his life in my place. And we thank you, O Father, for sending your Son, who gave himself a ransom for our sins. Hallelujah, we bless the name Yeshua, for he is the name above all names. Hallelujah, we bless the name Yeshua, Messiah gave his life in my place. Adonai Yeshua, Redeemer of Israel. Oh, Zion awaits the day of your returning. Oh, come to us, Emmanuel. Oh, hallelujah, we bless the name Yeshua, for you are the name above all names. Hallelujah, we bless your name, Yeshua. Messiah gave his life in my place. Hallelujah. Messiah gave his life in my place. Messiah gave his life in my place. Yeshua gave his life. There shall be a highway in the desert for the redeemed of the Lord. From the mouth of the Lord of hosts shall go forth a fiery sword, and all the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will see salvation. And all the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will see that he is king. There shall be a fountain in the city to cleanse all the people from sin.
Aren't you glad?
And with the tree of life in the midst of her, for the healing of the nation. And all the world will see Yeshua.
Yes, they will.
And all the world will see salvation. And all the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will see that he is king.
Waiting for that day. But can you see him today? Lord, I lift up anyone in this room that has not put their trust in you yet, that you would give them courage, and today would be that day. But even so, come Yeshua, come,
and all the world will see Yeshua. Hallelujah. And all the world will see salvation. All the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will see that he is king.
There shall be a sign in the heavens, and all the land will mourn for him. When they look upon the one who was pierced, coming back to Jerusalem.
And all the world will see Yeshua.
Yes, they will.
And all the world will see salvation. And all the world will see
Yeshua.
And all the world will see that he is king.
Come on, sing with me one time.
And all the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will see salvation and power and glory. All the world will see Yeshua.
And all the world will see that he is king. Come on, declare it today.
He is king. He is king. He is king.
Hallelujah. He's coming to reign in righteousness.
He is king.
He is king.
All right, give it up for your king.
Robin, Rob Harvey was, who's a leader and here at Cold OD, and God uses him to reach many, he travels a lot reaching and helping many different people. He, in ministry and outreach, and Rob was in Brussels, Belgium, actually when the, and was right there when the bombs went off recently. So Rob, it was a really tough time, and many of you that know them were praying for them, and we're going to just, I just asked if he was, you know, would he, and he was glad to give an update, share what's going on. So,
hey, brother. Thanks.
Yes.
Shabbat Shalom. So I was going to answer a couple questions. Why were we traveling? What was the attack like? And then during worship, I wrote a little adaptation to Psalm 27. Maybe I could. A little matzah. So what was the? What were we there for? I was in Liberia, Monrovia area, with some champions, brothers and sisters in Yeshua, that were working with ex-combatants from the Civil War, still recovering from Ebola crisis. I was part of a group that was training about 40 different leaders, mostly church leaders. Government relies heavily on their networks with a process to help train for remembering information, internalizing it, and translating it through stories. And we used a lot of Bible stories to transmit truth, to encourage, to promote healing. So it was an honor to work with those guys for that season. On our way back through Brussels, my flight was right, I arrived and went through security. I was probably from here to the parking lot when we heard the explosions. Immediately, like a herd of people, sort of like a Black Friday moment, except for these people were terrified with their luggage running down the terminal. I took two steps back with two guys I was traveling with and let everyone pass. Voices, panic over the intercom system, voices cracking, crying. It was really bad. I've already been to a counselor. We'll continue for what we saw. There were hours afterwards, after they had us drop bags, carry-ons, still haven't recovered, to a holding area. Some of us were suspects. They thought there were more bombs. We had a controlled demolition. There were a lot of things they didn't show on the media. Most of the day without food and water in a hangar held against our will. We escaped. Me and my two buddies did. That's a whole other story for another day, perhaps. Was one moment Mary thought I should mention. Some people stood in a line and there was little food from the airlines. An Indian man gave me half of his roll. An elderly woman gave me some of her orange juice. Those were sort of precious moments for me. We actually got to share stories and encouragement and prayer while in the hangar. Made our way to Amsterdam, rented a car, arrived home. So thankful to be here with you today. And if I may, I'd like to just offer a little prayer or declaration, an adaptation that I wrote after getting here during the worship from Psalm 27 with some other things mingled in that you'll probably recognize. This is Adonai, he is my stronghold. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the stronghold of our lives. Whom shall we fear? When evildoers come against us in our hearts, we will not be afraid. The war breaks out against us, we will still be confident. For the Prince of Peace reigns. He is good, so very good. And he has not given us a spirit of fear, nor confusion, but a sound mind. He is our rock and our fortress and our deliverer, and we are his people. We run to him, and we are secure. He is very present in our time of trouble. So we will offer praises to the Lord of hosts, our strength and our shield. He has been our helper. He will not leave us or abandon us. He is our God, the God of our salvation, the Lord who cares for us. In the midst of adversity, we continue to show us and ask you, Lord, to show us the way. Give us a level path. For we are certain that we will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living, and we will wait on the Lord. We will be strong and courageous. We will wait on the Lord. Thank you.
Praise. Thank you so much for sharing, really, for sharing with us and your family for sharing with us. It's been a rough week for them and for his family with him back. You had dropped your carry-ons, right, when this happened? And you still
haven't gotten them back. Yeah, so, like, during the events and the minutes after it, they wanted everybody at first to get to the terminal because they thought there might be more going off in the main terminal. And we were pretty close. So again, hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people running to the end, and I thought that mob was probably more dangerous than standing by the wall. But the security folks, like, you need to leave your bags, sir. So everybody left their bags. I was one of the last people out of the terminal. It was an eerie thing to look throughout an airport and see nobody but bags. You could feel the fear. Then people just scattered out onto the tarmacs. But they had us drop our bags. So there's a process to try to identify your bag. Didn't have tags. You know, was planning on just carrying them on. So laptops and iPads and notes and all the footage from our trip. Yeah, tried $30,000 worth of video equipment, drones, all that stuff. So Lord willing, it'll be returned to us in time. And we'll even be able to share some video perhaps from that amazing trip. But in the meantime, you're sort of seeking closure because you're sort of like feeling robbed. Your stuff, you know, you're violated. And so just waiting for that return. Yeah.
Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for this time of Messiah's Yizkor, of remembering your sacrifice, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And we say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shomea tefillah. Praise you for hearing our prayers. We bless you. And so we thank you, Lord, for this visitation today, your visitation. Because there's nothing more we want than your presence, Lord. Like Moses said, if you don't go up with us, we don't want to go. Lord, we don't want to be in this except because we're meeting with you, hearing from you, following you. We praise you and thank you. Open our eyes now to behold wonderful things from your words. Speak to us. Gale nai v'avitan niflaot metoratecha. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, soon we're entering the Pesach season, Passover season, right? How many are looking forward to Passover? And thank Brent. Where's Brenton? And Brenton and April. Thank you, Brenton, for making that little video. I was counting. It was about 35 years ago. I used to do a program called The Bible Speaks to New York, believe it or not, a TV program in Manhattan, right in the heart of Manhattan. This was 35 years ago. We started it with just by faith. God opened up a studio, private studio, where we could broadcast for $40 for the hour on prime time. This is Manhattan, 35 years ago, and got our own crew together. They told us the same. I won't tell you what was in that same building going on. I mean, the kind of, you know, Sin City. I mean, all sorts of stuff going on, and yet God gave us an opportunity to do that, and we reached a lot of people. I remember once a Russian Jewish family called in, and they literally got before a television and prayed as a family to receive the Lord, you know, and there were all sorts of things like that happening. We ended up going to a vegetarian restaurant afterwards. We'd say, people, come over here. We'll be there for a time of Q&A afterwards. It was really, those were exciting days. So I haven't done that kind of thing, but Brenton got it together really easily and quickly, and appreciate that too. It's exciting. Becca just mentioned, Becca and Jack, are they still here? Becca, there's, or maybe they're helping. Becca, there, over here. She was listening to her song the other day, one of her songs, and they just said, we signed up for this Passover Seder already, so we got to get her singing at the Seder, doing something. So we're going to talk about that. We'll figure out what we can do.
But I hope you'll come. It's a real opportunity to invite other people. It's a real outreach. We hope you'll, you know, think about your Jewish friends that are having their home Seder. You know, it's the family event of the year, you know, for us as a people, you know. But then to have our community Seder. And I know I invited a friend from Pickleball last year that came, and he's still, I still see him now and then, and he's open. And so hopefully, you know, they'll come to faith in Yeshua. And praise the Lord. Well, you know, Pesach Ladonai is what it's called in the scriptures, one of the terms. And then unleavened bread, Chag HaMatzot Ladonai, the holiday of matzah to the Lord. And so we make preparations, you know, in Exodus 12, where we had a reading earlier, we make always, you know, we get rid of all the leaven. And by the way, how many are doing the, No, don't tell me. It's between you and the Lord. But, you know, you do the unleavened bread, just eat matzah, no leaven. I think I'm the only one that eats bread in my house anyway now these days. But no leaven, no bread, you know, no chametz for the week. And it's a challenge. I love the challenge. I love doing that. You know, we refrain from chametz in all its forms, privately and publicly. And the whole idea is separation. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, the fact that we are different. We're different. And so because we are different, God says live differently and don't be ashamed of it. Be glad to live differently because we are different. Passover and Matzot, these holidays really teach us about that. And, you know, we're going to look at Leviticus 11 for a minute. But I think about it, you know, to be different is a distinction. Because God has separated us for himself. Three things. Distinction. God has separated us for himself. And what an honor that is that he has done that. Discipline. Second, discipline. What was the big thing? Just say no years ago in one of the administrations. Just say no to drugs, I think, you know. Or just say nah. But, you know, it's a choice. We make a choice to say no to chametz for the week. And then it's a delight. It's a delight because there's great, so much joy in obedience, you know, in following the Lord, in following the living God. Psalm 40, verse 9, I delight to do your will, O God, my God. Yes, your Torah is within my being. So we see it here in Exodus 12, 15 through 20. You don't, I'm not going to read through the whole portion there, but 7 days you're to eat matzah, and it explains the feast of Matzot. And where the tradition comes from today. So Publix, by the way, has a great, I don't want to advertise Publix, but they have a great section, you know. Kroger's always had, Bell Mead, you know, they have a great section, all the Passover products, but some discounted coupons, all sorts of stuff. Look over at Leviticus 11, and this is in the Parsha, and this deals with food. You know, what we should and shouldn't eat. Now, I'm not going to get into this morning the whole idea that, we, you know, in a class we talk, you know, why did God tell the Jewish people to tell us to refrain from these things, from, you know, the shellfish and all this stuff, you know, but, you know, was it hygienic? Was it for the purpose of hygiene, or was it just for holiness? Was it, you know, I think both things could, you know, have both points have things, something to consider. But you know, there's, I don't know if you know that there was it was mealtime on an El Al flight, if you heard that story. It was an El Al flight to Israel, and it was mealtime, and the flight attendant asked Melvin, she said, he was sitting in the front row, and she said, would you like dinner? And he said, what are my choices? And she said, yes or no. So that's it. That's a Jewish flight, you know. anyway, but in Leviticus 11, you see all has to divide the hoof and chew the cud among the mammals, and then among the fish, has to have fins and scales, verse 9. This is also in Deuteronomy. But these are the you know, God goes through all these different animals and creatures, living creatures, and he says these things are to be unclean to you. And he mentions, I think, 21 times the words unclean and detestable. But the summary really is, if you go to verse 44, the point of summary is, for I am the Lord your God, therefore sanctify. And let's say the word kadosh. And the root kadash. Let's say kadash. Beautiful. Kadash. Sanctify it. And listen to this definition, because I love this definition. You won't find this in like Strong's or anything like that. This is digging deeper. It really, the word root kadash really means to prepare for task. To prepare for task and to dedicate all resources. To dedicate all resources. This word that we translate sanctify or holy means to be prepared, to prepare for task, to dedicate all my resources. So he says, sanctify yourself and be holy, for I am holy. So he uses the word three times there. You are not to defile, and the word tame, let's say tame. Tame means to contaminate. It means it's unclean. Don't be, and it really means dull, dull. And so the idea is, when we become contaminated, when we defile ourselves, when we do what is not God's will, we actually dull our spiritual closeness with the Lord. It's interesting. When we merge and morph with the world, we dull ourselves. He says, don't contaminate yourselves with any kind of creeping thing that moves on the earth, for I am Adonai who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, you should be holy. Here he says it again. For I am Kadosh. You shall be Kadosh, for I am Kadosh. This is the law of the animal, the bird, and he mentioned. And he says, making a distinction. You make a distinction. Now, look at the word distinction. Is the root is badal. Let's say badal. I don't have it up there, I don't think, but it's probably somewhere, but I'm not sure where. But it means to separate for a positive purpose. So we separate from the world for a positive purpose. We have been separated for a redeeming purpose. And he says, separate between, a distinction between the unclean and the clean, between the living thing and that may be eaten and the thing that may not be eaten. Sanctify yourselves, be holy as I am holy. Repeats it all over again. Now, but under the new covenant, realize that under the new Brit Chadashah, the new covenant, we already have been made holy. Did you know that? Scripture says that we have been sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that was what some of you were, and he mentions a whole list of things there. He says, but you were washed. In other words, in your rebirth, you were washed. You were made holy. You were set right. In the Greek means, diakonos means to be deemed righteous. In the name of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and by the Ruach of Adonai, we're called saints, right? The Greek word hagias, and the Hebrew word would be kiddushim. Let's say kiddushim. Kiddushim, we're saints. We are already called holy ones. We're set apart for God. So God's saying, be different because you are different. All right, are you with me? Be different because you are different. Live clean because you are clean. I've already made you clean. Now you're clean through the word that I've spoken to you, Yeshua said in John 15:3. Now you're clean. And he washed them at their feet. He said you're clean in John 13 as well. But he says you are different, and you're so be different because you're called to be different. The word, again, means to be prepared, to prepare for task. Dedicate all our resources. So you and I have been called and prepared for an eternal purpose. So we should give ourselves fully to God for that purpose. Now, I want to be like Yeshua, not like the world. And not like when we talk about the world, and I'll mention the Greek word in a minute, Romans 12. But the world is the culture. But, you know, that's not... Sometimes we say, well, that's like the non-believer, which is true. But you know what? I don't want to be like the worldly church either. I don't want to be, and neither do you. I don't want to be like, because that's a lot of what is called the believing community or the church, the ekklesia, of course, the Greek word. But what would the world call is no better, maybe even worse, because it parades the name of Yeshua, name of Jesus on it. And I don't want to be, we're not to be conformed to the culture, Romans 12:2 says. Like it, We're not to like it, to buy it, to believe it, to do it because it's popular, because everyone else does, do something because everyone else is doing it, or because I'll be looked down upon if I don't do it, what they're doing, what someone else is doing. I don't want my thinking, which, and my thinking will always determine my actions, I don't want my thinking to be shaped by anything else, anything other than God's eternal word. All right? And whether you have it here or, as Rob pulled it out, or here, you know, the word of God, but most of all, it's here and here, right? That's where we want it. We want it. And of course, in the New Covenant, he writes his law in our hearts and our minds in Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8 and 10. And he writes his word. But we want to hide the word, Psalm 119:11, in our heart. And so we are, I don't want to be shaped by anything other than God's eternal word as breathed by the Spirit of the living God. Yeshua said, John 6:63, said, it is the Spirit, the Ruach, let's say Ruach, Ruach, the Spirit, the Ruach, who gives life. The flesh is of no benefit, no avail. The words I have spoken to you, Yeshua said, they are spirit and they are life. Now look at Romans 12, if you would, for a minute. Romans 12 in your scriptures. In lieu of God's awesome, grandiose, far-reaching, overwhelming plan to in mercy fulfill his covenant promises to wayward Israel and to reconcile the world of Jew and non-Jew to himself, that's the whole context really of Romans 11, there exists, he's saying, no other sensible recourse than to entirely offer up ourselves to him through whom and from whom and for whom everything exists. That's the whole idea of Romans 12. When he says, I urge you, therefore, you know, when he says that, you know, they say, when there's a therefore, it's there for a reason, right? When I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in other words, look at the context. I think in the class I was able to get into part of it this morning. You know, the context is the most important thing. I think I've heard it in one, I think it was Michael Rydenek, said context is king, or he was quoting some other scholar. Context, what is the context? Always you need to know when we're studying scripture. And so he says, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. What's the therefore? Again, go back to Romans 11. Remember, there were no chapter divisions. It was a letter, of course, that the chapter divisions came later. The whole context is God is going to find a way to bring Israel back to graft the natural olives back into the olive tree, and then the wild, and ultimately to bring Jew and Gentile. I love, didn't you love Paul's, didn't you love Ted's last song, that song, All We Will See Yeshua. Did you write this, Ted, here? Or did he write that one? I think he wrote that. Did you write that one, Ted? Really? Yeah, I just found it on the side of the road. Yeah. What a great song. Yeah. Wow. I mean, wow, we just can all picture it, you know, when he sings that. We can all vision it. We're there, you know. We're looking forward to it. Well, that's really Romans 11. That's what it's all about, you know, he's saying. He's saying in light of these covenant promises, Israel's going to break my heart, God says, and go away from me like the book of Hosea and Jeremiah describe. And we, you know, God says, I'm married to you, you know. Oh, I'm not going to divorce you. I'm going to discipline you, but I'll bring you back. You break my heart, but I'm not going to give up on you. And God says, I'll bring you back. And he does. And he says, but through you, the nations come to the Lord. Through you, you're the light to the nations. And I'm going to fulfill that prophecy, that calling. And so he says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your, and I would just translate it, sensible service. The word in Greek, logikos. Some might translate that logical, you know, reasonable, you know, they say. But it's your sensible, it's a logical service in light of what God is already planning to do. Don't be conformed. And the word means to form or fashion or shape like another. It's the word actually for assimilate. And we know, as Jewish people, we know so much, how much we're, you know about assimilation anyway, the word in Greek, sus, I don't know, I have it written in Greek here, I don't know if I can read it, sus hematizo, it means to be shaped like another, to assimilate, formed and fashioned. Don't be fashioned into this world. And the world here is not cosmos, but it's the other word, aeon.
aeon in the Greek. It means a period of time of significant character. A period of time of significant character, an age, an era. In other words, the emphasis is on the aeon is on the material and the temporal. And God says, that's not where your values should be. That's not what you want to live for, the temporal and the things that are passing away. The world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God, right, shall abide. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. For all that is the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the Father. Any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He says the world's passing away. He that does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15-17 would be that. But so he says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be assimilated. Don't be just shaped because it's popular, because that's what everyone else is doing. He says, you're different. Be transformed. Metamorpho. Be transformed. It means to be changed into another form. And could be inwardly or outwardly, both. Change into another form. Be transformed. Change into another form by the renewing and the renovation of your mind, so you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what is it? It's God's word that will do that. It's God's word that separates us and distinctifies us and makes us different. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What is the word of God does that? The word of God is what sets us apart. Now we have been called, we are called Hagios, we are called Kiddushim, we are set apart, but then practically, how does it live out? I've got to be sanctified. Yeshua said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is by thy truth. Your word is the truth. In John 17, in his prayer, as our Kohen Gadol, as our high priest. That's what he said, prayed in John 17. And so, so the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is what separates us. He said, look at John 17. I'm going to just quote some verses from that prayer. He says, you gave them to me, praying for his disciples there and for us, you know, for also those that would come to faith through them. So us also. He says, you gave them to me. And by the way, that's, you know, when you wonder what it means that the Messiah is interceding for us in heaven as our priest now, high priest now, there you get the picture in John 17, what he's doing now as our priest, high priest. You gave them to me and they've kept your word. The words which you gave me, I've given to them. Those you have given me, for they are yours. I've given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Says it again. Make them holy in your truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So we are called. We are different. God has taken us, and we're called to make disciples. We're called to invest God's word and God's love in other people. You know, that's what we do. We challenge one another to follow Yeshua. You know, I think what it means, you know, mercy, it says mercing, baptism, immerse them in the name of the Father, Son. That's not necessarily talking about just the water. It's talking about we immerse people in the nature of God, in his name and who he is. That takes the word of God, that takes loving people, spending time. And that's what we're called to do, to follow him, to make disciples. But what about these dietary laws of biblical kashrut? What might they teach us in Leviticus 11, like, and there's many other places, but we're in the parsha today. Well, let me mention a few things. Limited freedom, is that so bad? Do we need everything? Advertising tells us that we do. Must we have no limitations, no boundaries? And do we react at the idea of restrictions? Do we react at that idea? Is our problem in Western Christianity, where we live and here, that we don't share a radical rejection and distaste for what God declares off limits to us? I'm not talking about just the foods. I'm saying what the principle teaches us. Whether you keep kosher or not, that's between you and the Lord, and no one's to judge you. Romans 14, I believe. We don't do that in this congregation. Some keep biblical kosher. Some keep rabbinic kosher. Some don't keep kosher. And
and Debbie fixed these pork sandwiches outside for the Oneg Tower. It's not my, I didn't tell her to, no, she didn't. They're beef. They're beef. But you know, but we don't want it. We never want a climate of people judging one another and looking at, that's, you know, that's between you and the Lord, you know. But the principle is, it's not bad to, it's to learn to say no to your flesh about some things. It's actually healthy. It's good to learn to limit yourself, to that God gave limit. Now, but I think God did it to separate his people, you know, and there's all the reasons.
Which are the commandments that are above and beyond our understanding and logic. The keeping kosher commandments are hukim, and hence a bit tough to get a handle on. Nevertheless, and this is an interesting point to make, nevertheless, commentaries throughout the ages have attempted to get a better understanding of keeping kosher and some of the reasons and theories behind it. The Talmud claims that non-kosher food desensitizes the heart. Now, I'm not claiming, he says, that I fully understand how this might work, but apparently the idea is that somehow non-kosher food makes one less sensitive to spirituality. And while it may not necessarily block the arteries in the physical sense, it somehow clogs up the spiritual arteries and lines of communication to God. Isn't that interesting? So I give that for your consideration. Interesting. But it's between us and you and the Lord, how you, you know, what you do about that. And and there's a difference, by the way, between what we would say biblical and rabbinic kosher, you know, separation of dairy and meat. You might not feel this, I don't know what to say. But again, there's freedom in the Lord. There's freedom. There is absolute freedom. But there's also the limit of freedom. Whether it's in that area, that's just fine. But I think personally, you learn, you know, in the discipline we learn in early life, in some of these areas, then we're able to transfer that discipline as we grow older into other areas. And it applies to other areas that we find it, we're used to saying, learning from already your spirit. Say no, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, help us, of course. All right, I'm going to bring this to a close. So, and there are certain words that are, I'm not going to mention that, but how are we different? 1 Corinthians 6, how are we really different? Mentions several things. You know, it says, don't you know, verse 6, 9, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he lists a lot of things here. And we read them earlier. Don't be deceived. Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, those who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. Remember, if you're going to don't focus on just one or two of those. We're going to focus on all of them. All right. Don't point out someone who's that, and then you're doing one of the others. It's like Romans, not one. You know, mentions I think 29 things, and he says you judge are worse because you do the same things, not the same thing, the same thing, everything else. So, but he says all of these slanderers, swindlers, greedy, if I'm greedy, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what some of you were. God has a new life for us. He has a new life and a new power to overcome sin and be delivered. He says, but you were washed, you were made holy, you were made righteous in the name of Yeshua. He says, everything's permitted for me, but not everything is helpful. Everything's permitted, I'm in verse 12. But I will not be controlled by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will do away both of them. Yet the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. And then back down to 19 and 20, your body is the temple of the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, is in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God. We belong to the Lord now. That's the emphasis. We belong to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? We belong to Him, and so we're not of the world. He and Yeshua says He is not of the world. John 17, He said several times there. He has given us His words, and He sanctified us, and He's made us holy through His words. John 17:17. We are as He is. 1 John 4:17. For just as He is, so are we in this world. God says we are as He is right now. Right now, you may not feel like it, but God says you are as He is if you belong to the Lord. And how is He different? Well, Yeshua said, you're from below, I am from above. You're from this world, I am not of this world. I am not of the world. He says it three times. I am not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Then he says, my kingdom is not from here. That's all in John 8:23, 17, and then 18:36. Our life, we are as he is. Our life is not from here. Our kingdom is not from here. Our life is from above. We have a new life, a new life. And that's what is so important, you know, that we follow him in that. To be different means a distinction, it means discipline, it's a choice, and it's a delight. We're different, you know, and it's wonderful. And I close with, in Ezra 6, it says in 22, when they slaughtered the Passover, And they separated themselves. They had an amazing joy as they went to seek the Lord, God of Israel. It says to seek the Lord, God of Israel, they had tremendous joy because of their obedience, because they said we're not like, we don't have to be like everyone around us. So Father, we thank you that you have made us different.